This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We're talking tonight, inshaAllah, about the zakat, natakallam ani zakat. وكما هو معروف هي ركن من أركان الإسلام الخمسة. So as everyone knows, it is one of the five pillars of Islam. This is something that was confirmed by Jibreel عليه السلام before the death of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. By 3 months he came to him, and Jibreel عليه السلام came in the shape of an unknown human being. Inside, and he sat down with the Sahaba. And he wanted, of course, to teach the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So it was like a summary of Islam at the end of the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel decided to ask him about 4 questions. The first question about Islam, second question about Iman, faith, third question about Ihsan, and the last question about the hour. So these are the most important questions that we need to pay attention to. And Jibreel عليه السلام, as I said, asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم the first question, ما الإسلام؟ قال أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وأن تقيم الصلاة وأن تؤتي الزكاة تصوم رمضان وتحج البيت. So Jibreel عليه السلام or Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him that you declare your faith in Allah سبحانه وتعالى and his messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, that you perform the salah, the 5 daily prayers, and then you pay the zakat. So this is, as I said, something that was confirmed by the Messenger of Allah, but confirmed by the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before that, zakat was mentioned many times in the Quran, and most of the times it is linked with the salah. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. This is the importance of this zakat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned those who accumulate wealth and they do not spend it in His way. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. This is in Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 34 in Surah At-Tawbah, or the second part of Ayah 34 in Surah At-Tawbah. So those who accumulate wealth and they not spend it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَكْنِزُونَ الْعُلَمَاء, they said, your wealth, if you don't pay zakat on it, it will be kanz, and you will be taken to account for it, for accumulating this wealth on the Day of Judgment without paying the zakat. If it you pay the zakat, it's not a kanz, and you won't be accountable for, you know, collecting this money or saving this money on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ, give them glad tidings of a severe punishment. There is a hadith, actually 2 hadiths, but one of them is very scary in Sahih al-Bukhari. In Sahih al-Bukhari about this kind of punishment. And we don't have a choice. We have to believe in the literal meaning of this hadith. We cannot try to sugarcoat the message or try to look for an interpretation. The hadith says that the people who do not pay zakat, they were wealthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them wealth, but they were not paying zakat, their wealth will be turned into a bald-headed, poisonous male snake, thuban. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiyah. And this snake will encircle their neck on the Day of Judgment. This snake will be speaking to the person, telling him, I am your wealth, I am your money, I am your wealth. I'm talking about the people who do not pay the zakat. And these people could be Muslims, because we're going to talk about 2 types of people. Those who do not deny the obligation of the zakat. يُنْكِرُونَ وُجُوبَ الزَّكَاتِ. That's one, these are one group of people. And the second group of people, they're still Muslims. They believe in the obligation of zakat, but they don't pay it because for whatever reason. I mean, there are people who have different, they have their own reasons. Anyway, it is one of the pillars of Islam. It is enough to say it's one of the pillars of Islam. It's not a recommendation. It's a major, major duty. When we say, Because there are many duties, like birrul walidain is one of the duties, right? Birrul walidain, treat your neighbor with kindness is one of your duties as a Muslim. Doing your job with honesty, and truthfulness, it's one of your duties. But these duties are not included in the five pillars of Islam. The five pillars, it's like a house that was built on five pillars. If you break one of them, I don't think the house we can use it to live in it anymore. It can collapse at any time, right? You have a pillar that is broken, that is not there. So anyway, this is what we know about the zakat. And deniers leave the fold of Islam. What we mean by that? That those who do not believe that a zakat is an obligation and not Muslim anymore. يُنْكِرُونَ مَعْلُومًا مِنَ الدِّينِ بِالضَّرُورَةِ يُنْكِرُونَ مَعْلُومًا مِنَ الدِّينِ بِالضَّرُورَةِ So basically they are denying something that is very basic, that every Muslim knows that zakat is one of the major obligations. Except a new Muslim, maybe. Someone who accepted Islam last week or 2 weeks ago. Maybe he's not aware. I mean, it's possible that he doesn't know that zakat is an obligation. I'm not talking about the details here. I'm not talking about al-hawl, the passing of one lunar year, the amount you are supposed to pay, which is 2.5. I'm not talking about these details, right? How much you should pay on your, if you have a land, if you have a house that is used as a rental property. I'm not talking about these details. I'm talking about the knowledge, the basic knowledge, that zakat is an obligation. That no Muslim, should say that I didn't know that. Every Muslim is familiar with five pillars of Islam, as I said, except maybe a new Muslim who accepted Islam recently. So those who do not pay it due to negligence are still Muslims. But it is a major sin. For them, it is a major sin. If they don't pay zakat, it is a major sin. It is a major sin and it is a major act of negligence. Now, what are the wisdoms? What are the benefits? The ulama talked about many benefits. They said both individuals and communities benefit and flourish. Because people will be helping each other, right? We're taking care of each other. And the wealth is purified. They took it from the ayah that I will share with you from Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 103. The heart is purified from greed and selfishness. You are not a selfish person. You're able to reach your pocket and give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not greedy. Alhamdulillah. And this is something good. Money does not control you. You are able to control money. And this is something good. So this is something very nice. One's business will be blessed by idhnillahi ta'ala. And zakat, in general, is a means of purification and growth and blessing. And they took it from, مثلا, these meanings, beautiful meanings from this ayah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take, O Muhammad, from their wealth, a charity by which you purify them and sanctify them. And invoke Allah's blessings upon them verily, or indeed your invocations are a reassurance for them. Now, when we say that this is the meaning of this ayah, O Muhammad, take from their wealth. Take from their wealth. Now we have to explain this part of this ayah here, this statement. Was he supposed to take the sadaqah and spend it on himself and spend it on his family? This is something that many, I believe that our youth and our community and even non-Muslims need to know about that. That zakat was not permissible for our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to benefit from. It was haram for him and it was haram for his family to benefit from zakat. Haram. He would go, we have a hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would go to his house, he would find a date on his bed, one date on his bed. And he would say, if I knew that this date is not from zakat, I would have eaten it. There is another hadith that he would see one date on the ground and he would not approach it, he would not touch it out of fear that this date could be from zakat. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was very eager, very serious about following, you know, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to touch zakat money. One time, he went to a sort of warehouse where people brought their zakat. And they were the people working in this warehouse. They were trying to manage some, they had some piles of dates, right? And he had his grandchild, Al-Hasan, with him. Al-Hasan, who was 4 or 5 years old. He took one date and he put it in his mouth. And Rasulullah ﷺ came, he took this date from his mouth. And he said, you should know that zakat is not permissible for Muhammad or the family of Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I consider this as a proof that he is a true messenger of God. There's no doubt about it. Because, I mean, he could have made up stories and some ahadith and told them that Allah allowed me to take 20% from your zakat or 30% from your zakat. Who would say no? Who would say no, you are not allowed? If they believed in him as a messenger of Allah, as true messenger of Allah, they would say yes. Take 20%. Allah allowed you to take 20% from zakat money. Right? Alhamdulillah, I wrote a book. I authored a small book about this mas'ala as a proof, dalil min dala'il nubuwa, as a proof that he was a true messenger of God in Arabic, but it will be very soon translated in English, inshallah. So we're doing a series, Proofs of Prophethood. We authored, alhamdulillah, 4 stories in Arabic, translated 1 and 2 in English. And number 3 is about zakat, and it will be translated very soon, inshallah, and may be published bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And there are many proofs, yani, about his prophethood, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, as I said, when zakat is paid, then poverty is alleviated and hearts are purified. We take it from this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about tahara and tazkiyah. And zakat itself, the word zakat means growth and nama and barakah, blessing. So it's about blessing. When you give it, keep in mind these beautiful meanings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless your wealth, bless your family, and bless you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Tafadhal. Ayah? From their wealth. This is what I'm explaining. I'm explaining that he was not supposed to take from their wealth and put it in his pocket. It's an order. Take as a head of the state to manage it, to take it and distribute it. He was the leader. He was the head of the state. He was supposed to take it as a head of state, put it in the warehouse, and to be distributed among the poor and the needy, not to be spent on his family. I wanted to explain this because this is the impression that some people might actually have from this ayah. It was not for him or his family, alayhi salatu wasalam. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ as a hakim, as a leader, as a president, and distributed among the poor and the needy. So the hadith will clarify, the next hadith will clarify this one. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal ila al-Yaman. Naam. So he sent him to al-Yaman. أعلمهم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد فرض عليهم 5 صلوات في اليوم والليلة. يعني after they accept Islam, after they become believers, tell them that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has made it an obligation upon them to perform 5 daily prayers, right? فإنهم أجابوك لذلك, if they responded in a positive way to your call, then أعلمهم, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala farada alayhim zakatan tu'khadhu min aghniyaihim wa turaddu ala fuqaraihim. So it is to be taken from their wealthy, distributed among their poor. So taken from the wealthy, distributed among the poor, the hakim or the leader has nothing to do with the zakat. Even though Rasulullah was not, I mean, there are some ulama, they said he was rich, but he used to give. He was to give a lot. He was very generous. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But we know at a certain time, he was struggling, him and his family, alayhi salatu wasalam. And yet, zakat was haram for him. But he would accept the gift. Rasulullah would accept a gift. If someone gives him a gift, he would accept this gift from him. He doesn't accept sadaqah, he doesn't accept zakat, alayhi salatu wasalam. طيب. We talked about this ma'ani. Now, understanding zakat, you need to pay attention to four things, four essential elements when you talk about zakat. Number one is the intention of paying zakat. How does it make a difference? I met people who told me, I don't need to give zakat, I don't need to calculate my wealth at the end of the year and give zakat, because I give sadaqah for the whole year. If you give sadaqah with the intention of paying sadaqah, regular donation, regular sadaqah, that is not zakat. It's not enough. Zakat is 2.5% that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it an obligation for you to pay it from your wealth at the end of the year. It has its own rules. There are people who say, okay, I paid, like, let's say $500 2 months ago in a fundraising dinner. But I didn't make the intention of zakat. It was a regular donation. I was just there. They were collecting money for Palestine, and I paid $500 for Palestine. Can I turn it now in Ramadan, turn it into a zakat? So this $500 that was paid 2 months ago, can I turn it now into a zakat and deduct this $500 from my zakat payment? The answer is no. Because when you paid this money, you didn't have the intention of paying zakat. That's why it's a pillar. Ruknun min arkan is zakat. You didn't have the intention. It was accepted as a sadaqah, but it will not be accepted as a zakat. Why? Because at that time, when you made the payment, your intention was to give sadaqah, not zakat. You cannot turn it into a zakat. Or someone who gives a loan, we'll talk about it later on, to someone, and then this person is struggling, he was not able to pay within 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and they say, can I turn it into a zakat? I'll just tell him, don't pay me. You don't have to pay me. I'll just turn it into a zakat. 1,000, turn it. You can't, because when you gave him this money, it was a loan. You wanted to help this person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him a loan. So after 2 years, you cannot turn it into a zakat payment. You can't. At that moment, when you gave it to him, it was... So the intention of paying the zakat is very important. Even if we have a child who is wealthy, right? And he's paying the zakat. Now in the Hanafi madhab, he doesn't pay, but jumhur al-ulama, majority of Muslim scholars, they said the zakat haqqun fi amwal al-aghniya. This child, he's 7 years, 8 years old. He doesn't have to perform the 5 daily prayers, but it is haqq, right upon his wealth. He could be a millionaire. He might have 1 million in his bank account. His dad was wealthy, passed away. He left this inheritance, legacy for his son, and he's wealthy. So jumhur al-ulama, jumhur, majority of Muslim scholars, they said, yes, this child has to pay the zakat. Who will pay the zakat on his behalf? His guardian, his mom or his uncle or his grandfather, his guardian. And his guardian will make the niyyah on his behalf. The guardian will make the niyyah on behalf of this child. The second here, at what time is Isha? 7:30, right? So anyway, if we're not able to finish, we'll come back for Q&A, inshallah, after Isha, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, right? For 15, 20 minutes. طيب نصاب, the nisab, amount of wealth which makes you obligated to pay zakat. Nisab. If you don't have this nisab as a saving, then you don't have to pay zakat. It's a threshold, a limit. When your savings reach this nisab, then you record, you try to record this date, put it down, write it down, this date. And after the passing of 1 year, the third pillar here, al-hawl, the passing of one lunar year or 1 year in the Islamic calendar, and then you have the obligation to pay the zakat after 1 year, right? But this after 1 year, many people are confused about it. We'll talk about it because most of the people are paying zakat on, you know, some portions of their wealth before the passing of 1 year, which is permissible because they don't keep a record for every income, especially if they're receiving a salary and saving money every month. So they said, okay, I don't have to keep a record for every income. Well, just at the end of the year, I have one anniversary spot, you know, payment method, one time, one deadline, I'll just pay zakat on it, whatever I have, regardless if this amount, there is some amount of money that stayed with me 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, I don't care, I'll just pay zakat on everything. Most of the people do it this way, but you have the right to, you know, to keep different deadlines, especially if you sell like a big house, for example, you got $500,000 before Ramadan, 1 month before Ramadan. So are you going to pay zakat on this $500,000 in Ramadan? It stayed with you for only 1 month. If you want, yes, that's okay. But you have the right to say, oh, I got $500,000 here 1 month before Ramadan. I'm allowed to wait for 1 year. But the deadline will be different. For this $500,000, the deadline will be Sha'ban. It will be 1 month before Ramadan. It's a different deadline. Anyway, but this is the rule of 1 year, the passing of one year in the Islamic calendar. If you want to keep it 2.5, you follow the Islamic calendar. If you follow the Gregorian calendar, it's not 2.5. It's 2.577. Because there is a difference of 10 days or 11 days between the Islamic calendar and the Gregorian calendar. So if you want to keep it 2.5, follow the Islamic calendar. The moment you reach the nisab, convert the date into Islamic date. And then keep it in mind, or Sha'ban, Muharram, Safar, whatever. Now, full and complete ownership, that means if your ownership is not complete, we'll give you some examples later on, then there is no zakat obligation. If you don't have the freedom to dispose of your money, تصرف, ما عندك حرية التصرف, ملكيتك ناقصة, ملكية ناقصة, your ownership is not complete, then there is no obligation of zakat. We'll give you some examples later on, inshallah, بإذن الله تعالى. So basically, zakat is due on the wealth of any Muslim, young or old, male or female, that is held in savings for one calendar year after it has reached the nisab threshold. So basically, this is the definition of zakat, right? Now, there are misconceptions that we have to deal with them very quickly. People saying, I'm saving money to get married. You still have to pay zakat. It's cash that is saved in your bank account. You still have to pay zakat, right? Could have 20,000 and say, I need 50,000 to get married. I'm sorry, you have more than the nisab. And it's cash that is being kept in your bank account. You pay zakat. I want to buy a house for my family. It's not an excuse. You still have to pay the zakat. The moment you buy the house, khalas, no zakat on your house. No zakat on your house. But if it is cash that is saved in your bank account, you still have to pay zakat. Same thing for Hajj. Hajj, mashallah, it's a beautiful thing, right? Saving money for Hajj. But zakat is another obligation. Saving money to do one obligation, which is Hajj. How about the other pillar of Islam, which is zakat? Tfaddal, ya Sheikh. Yeah, we'll talk about it. It's coming. It's coming, inshallah. I don't have a job, but I have savings in the bank. Like the person could have 200,000, right? But they say, I don't have a job. But you have 200,000, and it's way more than the nisab. The nisab these days is kind of, mashallah, it went higher. It's around 11,000 now. We'll tell you about the calculation. How do we calculate the zakat, the nisab? You don't have a job, I'm sorry, you're still looking for a job, but you have savings in the bank, so you have to pay zakat. Do I exclude the value of the nisab? You don't. The nisab is, like, let's say, gold standard. Gold nisab is 11,000 today. As of today, is 11,000 Canadian dollars, right? So you have 20,000. Do you exclude the nisab, which is 11,000, and you pay only zakat on 9,000? Or you pay zakat on 20,000? What's your answer? 20, yeah? MashaAllah, you're very generous. That's good. That's the right answer, yes. You pay zakat on 20,000. I don't have to pay zakat on the amount which I already paid on it last year. These are some of the questions that we receive. Like last year, I had only 10,000. I paid zakat on it. This year, I have 30,000. Do I exclude this 10,000 which I paid zakat on it last year? And I pay only on 20,000? The answer is?
No.
The whole amount, yes. 30,000. I cannot pay zakat to any family member. This is a misconception. There are family members that you can give them zakat. You are allowed to give them zakat. We'll talk about them, inshallah. Your uncles, your aunt, your brothers, sisters, you can give them zakat if they need your help, with some conditions, of course. But parents, usually parents, you don't, except in one case. And children, you cannot give them zakat, or wife, your wife or your children, except in one case. Yes. So last year you had 10,000, you pay zakat on it, right? And then, mashallah, your savings were growing, until this Ramadan. By the way, when I say this Ramadan, I don't mean that people are supposed to pay zakat in Ramadan. The deadline could be before Ramadan. But because many Muslims, majority of Muslims, prefer to pay their zakat in Ramadan, we are not allowed to delay the payment of our zakat to benefit from the blessings of Ramadan. We're not allowed. It's haram. Let's say my zakat was due in Rajab, which is the month number 7th in the Islamic calendar, right? So you have Sha'ban, and then you have Ramadan, delaying the zakat, the payment of my zakat for 2 months, for no reason other than because I want to benefit from the blessings of Ramadan. That's not right. It is a sin. Yani you are not. But that's one issue. Okay, we said your savings are growing now in Ramadan or in Sha'ban, which is your anniversary, you got 30,000. No, you pay zakat on the whole amount, 30,000. What's your question again?
Aren't you supposed to pay zakat on wealth that has been with you for a whole year?
Oh, okay. Yani I explained this. I will explain it again. Let's say you got 5,000 1 month before your deadline. Majority of people, they ignore the fact that this 5,000 did not stay with them for 1 year. They pay on everything. And many people are confused about this. But let's say it was not 5,000. You got inheritance from a family member, and it was a big amount, 200,000. You said, okay, 200,000 is a big amount. I don't have the obligation to pay zakat on it after 1 month. I just got it. In Sha'ban, my zakat is due in Ramadan. Can you wait for 1 year for this 200,000? Yeah, you are allowed. But it will be a different deadline. This 200,000 is there. Next year you pay zakat on it, not in Ramadan, in Sha'ban. But if you decide to pay on it this year, that's okay. That is your choice. And you will be paying zakat in advance, before the passing of Al-Hawl for, you know, some yani part of your wealth. Is that clear, Ikhwan?
Yeah. Is it legitimate to pay? I guess you have to pay down on the full amount did not increase by a lot. So it's not legitimate to pay on the previous year's loan.
No, I said and I was trying to say that these 10,000 that you had last year, right? You still have to pay zakat on it. You cannot exclude it from your calculation this year. That was my point. Today you were asking about something else. The money that came and it did not stay with you for one complete year, right? Majority of Muslims, they ignore this fact that this money or part of their money did not stay with them for 1 year, and they pay on everything to make it easy.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want to keep a record for every income. That's too much. Yeah. And they will be paying some extra money before time. Alhamdulillah, fi sabilillah.
And the extra would be counted as
sadaqah. No, there are some ulama who said you'll be paying يعني, zakat in advance. And it will be accepted as zakat, inshallah. So we hope that, inshallah. I know there are some ulama who said, no, it's not zakat because the hawl did not pass. You have the intention of zakat. So we hope, inshallah, that it will be accepted as zakat. In any case, it's either zakat or sadaqah. You'll be rewarded, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. And the poor and the needy will benefit from your generosity. Now, gold or silver. To be honest with you, silver nisab does not make sense at all these days. At the time of Rasulullah, gold and silver, the gold nisab and the silver nisab, they had the same value. So the obligation was to pay zakat. The nisab at the time of Rasulullah was 20 dinars. And every dinar, their dinars were made of gold. Every dinar had like 4.25 grams of pure gold in it. Dinar. Dirham had 2.975 grams in it. But the nisab for dirham was 200 dirhams and 20 dinars. And the exchange at the time of Rasulullah was 1 dinar equal to 10 dirhams. Right? So basically, it was the same. They didn't have to worry. Whether you have gold or silver, if you have the gold nisab or silver nisab, everything was the same at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now is way different. There is a huge difference. Look at the nisab of gold in the last 3 years. Because the nisab of gold, we said 20 dinar, every dinar 4.25 grams of pure gold. 4.25 multiplied by 20, that is 85 grams of pure gold. That is the nisab of gold. 85 grams of pure gold. In 2023, it was 6,900. 24, 7,700. This year, it went up. It's 11,000. 11,000. So you can say ignore 100, 180. 11,180. This is as of today. As of today, you can ignore 180. You can say these days, the nisab is around 11,000. So if you have less than 11,000, no zakat obligation. There is no obligation of zakat on you. If you have 9,000 in your account, don't worry about zakat. You wait until your savings are 11,000, then you keep the date, wait until 1 year, and then you pay the zakat, inshallah. Now look at the zakat nisab of silver. As of today, 869. Do you think that the person who has 869 in his account, well, 1,000 in his account, is wealthy? What did Rasulullah ﷺ say? تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. It is taken from their wealthy and given to the poor among them. واحد عنده ألف دولار مسكين هذا ممكن يحتاج مساعدة. He might need help. Huh? If the rent is 2,000, wallahi, he has only 1,000. I think the best choice is to go with the gold nisab. And this is the decision of Islamic Research Council affiliated with Al-Azhar University. This is the fatwa of many scholars, right? They said we go with nisab of gold, and it is more stable. A National Zakat Foundation here, they advise people to follow silver nisab. Those ulama who advise people to follow the silver nisab, they have one reason. One reason. They said more people will benefit from zakat. Like I have 1,000 or 2,000, right? Based on the gold nisab, I don't have the obligation to pay zakat. I have only 2,000 in my account. Based on the silver nisab, I'll pay $50 on 2,000. I have 2,000. My zakat is $50. Now, those who said we follow the silver nisab, they said more people will benefit from zakat. But in zakat, subhanAllah, Islam takes care of the need of those who are accepting zakat and those who are paying zakat. Ar-Rahma bil fariqain. Treating everyone with mercy. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to send his the people who were working in the department of zakat, he used to send them to villages and different cities to collect the zakat. And most of the wealth that they had at the time was cattle and sheep and camels. He said, don't take the best type of their wealth. Avoid it. Be moderate. Don't bring something sick. Something sick that the poor and needy will not benefit from it. We're talking about animals here and cattle. And don't take the best thing, the best type of their wealth. خير الأمور أوساطها, the middle path is the best path. So here we feel that Islam is taking care of both parties, right? So anyway, the fatwa that they give to people, follow the gold nisab, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you to account. Gold nisab. Because certainly, someone who has 1,000, 2,000 in his account is not a wealthy person. I have no doubt about it. And I think you would agree with me. This person is not wealthy in Canada. But if you have 10,000 as a saving, you're doing fine. Maybe you cannot say you are wealthy, but you are doing fine. You have 10,000 as a saving in your account. If you want to buy a car for 6,000, 7,000, you can afford it. You know, 10,000 is a good money. Nowadays, it's 11,000. Anyway. That's right. Could be, yeah. Could be. But now inflation is a universal phenomena. It's everywhere. Inflation, which means money has no value. You go to Algeria, and this 1,000 will give you good money. But if you look at how much people are paying for grocery and everything, it's nothing. It's nothing. But you are not wealthy in Algeria or Egypt even if you have 1,000 or 2,000 Canadian and you go with this amount of money to Yemen or to Syria, well, you're not wealthy. You can buy stuff because you are a tourist. You go there as a tourist, right? You are a Canadian spending some money there. But you live there. You are not wealthy even based on their standards. Especially Algeria, think about it. I know I am reminding you about Algeria because I'm sure that you are familiar with. Yeah, it's nothing nowadays. Nothing. طيب. Now, look at these numbers here. The reason I put these numbers here, 85 grams or 87 0.48 grams, because I'm sure you're going to find these numbers on the internet. So I don't want you to worry about the second one. Ignore the second one. Majority of Muslim scholars, they believe it's 85 grams of pure gold. And for silver is 595 grams of pure silver. The other one, 612, just ignore it. It's an opinion, but it's not followed by the majority of Muslim scholars. So most of the Muslim scholars would follow the first two numbers, 85 grams and 595 grams. Silver, you don't have to worry about it. Worry about the 85 grams of pure gold. That's a nisab. Now, before you do your calculation, I have only 15 minutes left. Before you do your calculation, You need to pay attention to loans, like loans that you have given to people, other people. Are they good loans or bad loans? Right? And you pay attention to your debts, your obligation towards other people. Right? Are they short term or long term? Short term, anything less than 1 year. Obligation that you have to pay other people within a period that is less than 1 year, 9 months, 6 months, 5 months. You have this obligation to pay someone else, a debt. Now, a good loan is a loan that you gave to someone else and he's doing fine and he's not denying your loan. أنت مطمئن أنه مالك رح يرجع لك. You are confident that you're going to get your money back. You're happy. He's your brother. He's your father. He's your, a friend, but you're confident that he will give you this loan back. This is a good loan. If a bad loan, if like the person is not doing well, he's been struggling for years, or he's denying the loan and he's not willing to pay it back, you can classify it as a bad loan. Bad loan, you don't pay zakat for it. The moment you classify one loan as a bad loan, you don't have to pay zakat on it. So quickly, sister here, or one sister, or two sisters, allow them questions. I have 18 carat of gold. How to calculate the zakat? This example, we'll talk about it, inshallah. How to calculate pure gold. If it is 20, not 24, it should be 22 in the market, I guess. What is nisab amount of gold? I just mentioned that. What is nisab amount of gold? I just mentioned that. Is 85 grams of pure gold, and the total of the value of this 85 grams as of today is 11,000 Canadian dollars. 11,000. You can always check the price on internet, goldprice.org, and then check the nisab. Now, short-term, long-term debts, when it is a short-term obligation or liability, you are allowed to deduct it from your zakat. You don't pay it. You deduct it from your calculation. You don't pay zakat on it. Let's say 5,000, you're supposed to give it to a brother. Right? After 5 months, you bought a car from him. You didn't pay him. Giving him this 5,000 after 5 months, right? Less than a year, short term. You're allowed to deduct this 5,000 from your wealth, your savings, and you don't calculate zakat on it. You don't pay zakat on it. But long term, you're going to pay this 5,000 after 2 years, 3 years, more than 1 year. You pay zakat on it. It is included in your calculation. There is a formula. So this is something, one of the misconceptions is just a reminder here. Do not turn bad loans into a payment, zakat payment. We talked about it. Pardon?
So now you mentioned short term and long term, right? So what about if you don't know?
You don't know when you're going to pay them?
Yeah.
You have to decide. It's a decision that you need to make. If you are not sure, pay zakat on it. If you say, I'm not sure when, this year, next year, just pay zakat on it. ممكن تعمل بغلبة الظن. غلبة الظن يعني most likely you believe that you're going to pay them within 6 months. خلاص, deduct it. Don't pay zakat on it. غلبة الظن جائز.
How about the loan which you made month payments like in
2 years? Yeah, so you calculate the payment that you're going to make within 1 year. This is short term, 1 year. And you don't pay zakat on it. Okay? Now, employees, how do they calculate their zakat? Employees are some people who receive a salary, or they're not business people. They don't have merchandise, right? So you look at cash that you have plus the value of your stock. Now, the value of your stock, if you are a speculator, the active traders, those who trade, do the trading within a short period of time, which is 1 year. 1 year, active traders, right? So they calculate, they look at the value of their stocks on the day they're paying zakat. Let's say I'm paying zakat on Ramadan, the 15th of Ramadan. 15th of Ramadan. On that day, go to the internet, look at the value of your stock on that day. The value of your stock. If you are an active trader, and include it in the formula. Plus good loans. What are good loans? What did we say about good loans? We are sure it's going to come back. Yeah, it's a loan that we gave to someone else and we're happy, we're confident that you gave it to your brother, you trust him, he will give it to you back. So you pay zakat on it. Minus, lahza bas, kamlu formula. Minus short-term debts. Short-term debts within a year. Short-term debts, anything that you're going to pay back, you're going to pay back within less than a year. Then what is the total value of your zakatable money? If you follow the Islamic calendar, you pay 2.5%. If you follow the Gregorian calendar, you pay 2.577. But Islamically, you are supposed to follow the Islamic calendar, Islamically. And it's easier, 2.5. You don't have to worry about this 0.077. It's a better deal, yeah. 2.5 and that's it, right? Because this is what Muslims have in mind, right? It's 2.5. But you follow the Gregorian calendar, that was your decision for whatever reason. There are people who said, I have to do my taxes at the end of the year and I don't have a choice, I have to follow the Gregorian calendar. Okay, if you have a valid reason, then you pay 2.577. Okay, Juan, that's clear? Ammar, I think you raised your hand before, right? Let's go for Ammar and then we go to the brothers quickly. Mutual funds, I'll talk to you about it. Yani, at the end, it's a problem. How do you calculate it? Yani, but I give you an idea about how zakat on stocks, if you are a long-term investor, this is a formula. If you are a long-term investor, right? For this is the formula. So anyway, if you don't understand it, because I'm going to say it quickly, you can contact me later on. I'll send you the email. I have it in my email. I'll just forward the email to you. Right? If you are a long term, that means you don't trade within 1 year. You bought these stocks, left them there for 5 years, 10 years, collecting dividends. Right? Long term investor. This is the formula. You don't pay zakat on everything. So you have to determine what is called zakatable asset ratio. So you look at the financial statement. Look for something called current assets, the total value of the current assets, right? Minus interest income. Why minus interest income? Because as a Muslim, you're not supposed to pay zakat on interest income, right? If you have interest income in your hand, you give it as a donation. Get rid of it. You don't pay zakat on it, right? Minus. From this financial statement of the company, right? Divided by the market cap of the company. Market cap, you can get it from Yahoo Finance. If you know your company, you know what you are investing, you can get it for Yahoo. Or you look at the website, go to the website, they will tell you. The market cap is basically the value of this market based on the price of its shares on that specific date, right? Let's say the price of every share is $50, right? And they have 1 million shares in the market, 1 million multiplied by 50. That is the market cap. Here we have an example. Total current assets in their financial statement is 15 million. The market, the value of this company in the market, 90 million. Divide 50 million by 90. This is what you get, 0.1666, right? Or 16.66%, lahza. The current value of your holdings, yeah, and your stock, you have 12,000 in this company. You multiply 12,000 by this ratio, 0.1666, you get only 2,000. That is the zakat, the money that you pay zakat on it. This is not your zakat payment. This is not your zakat payment. This is the money that you pay zakat. So instead of paying zakat on 12,000, you pay zakat on only 2,000. Because 2,000 is your ownership from the current assets. If you have your own business, a factory, let's say you have a factory, you have a building. You don't pay zakat in your building because it's not for sale. They call it fixed asset, right? you have 20 vans for delivery, right? Cars for delivery. They are fixed assets. They are not for sale. You don't pay zakat. In Islam, you don't pay zakat on them. You have tools that are expensive. Tools that are expensive. Like the value of these tools, $500,000. You don't pay zakat on these tools, equipment, because they are fixed assets. They are not for sale, right? So fixed asset, current asset, it's for guidance. But there are people, for tax purposes, they declare some of their assets as fixed assets. And they're planning to sell them. Allah knows that you're planning to sell it. You pay zakat on it. Even if you put it on your financial statement as a fixed asset. Allah doesn't care about what you put for CRA. The information that you give it to CRA. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to pay zakat on anything that is for the purpose of trading. Right? Your production, your merchandise, anything that is for sale, cash, stocks, right? You pay zakat on them. So fixed asset and current asset, something for guidance, because it's a little bit difficult to calculate zakat, you know, when you are investing in the market. But this is clear. This is not your zakat payment. This is the amount you pay zakat on it from the total value of your holdings, which is 12,000. Quickly, akhi, tafaddal. Can we leave the questions after Isha? We have only 4 minutes. I need your permission. Can we take 10 minutes extra before we pray Isha? Okay, that's good. And then we try to continue. Sisters, I'm gonna answer the first question about 18 carat. Now, zakat on investment, mutual funds, cryptocurrencies. If you have cryptocurrencies, yeah, if you have Bitcoin, treat it as a currency. Any money. But there are other cryptocurrencies, they are not really currencies. It's a technology. So you treat them like shares. This is what I believe. But to be in the safe side, take their face value and pay zakat on it. To be in the safe side. Bonds. Are we allowed to invest in bonds? We're not. So it's a security, is an interest-bearing security, right? It's a loan that you give it to corporations and governments and you collect interest. It's haram, right? These are bonds. But if someone is investing in bonds, you should calculate the original price of the bond, which is like could be 1,000. You should ignore the interest income. It doesn't pay zakat on it. Look at the original price of the bond, could be 1,000, 10,000. And it's haram for him to invest in bonds. But just in case this person doesn't care about this concept, at least he should pay zakat on the original price. Mutual funds. Akhi, mutual funds is a little bit difficult how to calculate it. There are some ulama who said you should treat it like any trading items, like behave like a speculator, someone who is active, an active trader, because these managers are supposed to be actively trading on behalf of their customers. This is one opinion. But we know that some mutual funds are long-term investments. So how do you calculate when you have like this mutual funds, they have many companies in them? There are some ulama, as I said, to be in the safe side, look at your investment, the value of your investment, and pay zakat on everything. There are some ijtihadat, trying to find a solution for Muslims. Some other Muslims, like they said, you take 30% from the value of your, because most likely it will be, if it is for long term, or it will be mixed between short term and long term investments. So take 30% of your out of the total value of your holdings and pay zakat on it. I don't have a good answer for mutual funds. But if you want to be in the safe side, look at the value of your investments and pay zakat on it. If you want to be in the safe side. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Employees with pension plans. Did we mention business people? Business people have to... Okay, we didn't. Okay. Now, add to the total of your zakatable assets the unlocked portion of the RSP. So RSP is either locked or unlocked. Very simple. If it is locked, there is no way for you to benefit from it. Locked. He said no way. Even if you are facing an emergency or a financial, very difficult financial situation, they don't give you any money. They said when you reach the age of 65, we'll give you your money. Then you don't have the obligation to pay zakat. But if it is unlocked, you're allowed to withdraw money from your RSP account, right? Because there are people who said, their companies, they tell them, you don't allow, but if you are facing a certain situation, then we will allow you, apply, we'll get, allow you to take 40% or 50% of your funds, right? In this case, whatever you are allowed to withdraw, right? You look at how much penalties or how much the government will take. You go to the bank, you're supposed to withdraw 40,000. You don't take 40,000. They give you 30,000. 10,000 will go directly, immediately to the government. You don't pay zakat on this 10,000. You pay zakat only on 30,000. Is that clear? Let's say the total amount of your money or funds in the RSP is 100,000. If you, and you have access to it, you have free access to it, you go to the bank, you want to withdraw the whole amount, they give you only 80,000. That is your money. 20,000 will go to the government. Then you pay zakat only on 80,000. Yes, you have in the account 100,000, but 20,000 is not your money. You see the concept here? It goes back to which principle that we talked about? We talked about four pillars. Huh? Full ownership. You don't have ownership on this 20,000. Mulk tam. You don't have full ownership. It's not your money. It is in your account, but the moment you take money, at this moment, I mean, when you reach the age of 65, they will, most likely they will not. CRA will not take money from you, right? But at this moment, at the age of 30, 40, you're still young, yeah, you withdraw the money, they will take their some of it, 20% or 30%. This 20% is not your money. You don't pay zakat on it. RESP for your child, you have to know how much each child has. If it reaches the nisab, you pay zakat on behalf of your child only on the money that you made as a contribution. You ignore the money that came from the government. Why? Because your child at this time does not own this money which came from the government. His ownership is not full, is not yet established. When he reaches the age of 18, he will go to university. Then the government will allow him to benefit from this money. At this time, it is his responsibility to pay zakat. But at this moment, if you decide to close the account, they will give you your money that you deposited for your child, and the government will take its money. If you decide to close the door, to close the account before your child reaches the age of 18, and he goes to a university program. So you look at how much you deposited, you and his mother, how much you put there, because the moment you deposit this money for him or for her, it's their money. Right? It's a gift, or it could be from child benefit. People have different ways of dealing with child benefit. Could be a gift from you as a father. You give it to your child, it becomes his ownership, but you have to be careful. Don't pay zakat on the money that came from the government. So if you look at it, you say the money that I deposited, only 5,000. 5,000 came from the government. There is no zakat. Because his ownership is about, it's only 5,000. Is that clear, ya jama'ah?
The niyyah for this money, is it on behalf of the child?
On behalf, yes. You do the niyyah on behalf of. Business owners, they use the same formula, but you should add the value of the inventory. So whatever merchandise you have, you pay zakat on it. And you take the market value or the market rate. No zakat on the value of fixed assets. It's a loose term here, fixed asset, but buildings, equipments, furniture, vehicles used in the business. So you have an idea now. Those things that you use in the business, you don't pay zakat on them. It's like your personal items. You don't pay zakat on your house. You don't pay zakat on your car. You don't pay zakat on your phone, even if it is expensive. You don't pay zakat on personal items. Value of raw material. If you have a business, you have raw material. If it is included, will add value to the final product, then you have, of course, you add the value of this raw material and you pay zakat on it. Use the market price to calculate the value of your business merchandise. So we said 10 minutes, right? We fulfill our promise, inshallah, 7:40. We make the adhan and we pray right away. Zakat on jewelry. No zakat on any halal jewelry if it is for personal use. This is the majority of Muslim scholars. If it is for personal use, right? A woman. We're not talking about man here. Talking about woman using jewelry. Halal jewelry. Right? Because for a man, it's haram for him to use this jewelry, right? But if jewelry is saved as a store of value, she said, I have gold in the bank, stored there in a box. I'm not using it. I need it in the future. I'm saving it for future needs. Definitely, she has to pay zakat on this gold because she's not using it. If it is owned by a male, gold, yeah, you pay zakat on it. If it is intended for trade, business merchandise, you are a business person, you buy and sell gold. Yeah, of course, you pay zakat on it. If it is used as decoration in the house, there are people who have, you know, items used in the house, decorate their house, made of gold and silver, pay zakat on them. And they said it is mandatory to pay zakat on the value of utensils made of gold and silver. Scholarly consensus, ijma, all of them, they believe that if you have plates or you have forks and spoons made of gold and silver, there are some families, mashallah, they are wealthy, and they have these things at home, right? They have to pay zakat on these things. You're laughing, but because you don't have them at home, but there are people, zakat, sharia is for everyone, right? For the wealthy and the poor. Tayyib. So, based on the Hanafi madhab, women have to pay zakat on their jewelry. Hanafi madhab and some other scholars who agreed with them. I just want to be honest with you and tell you about all the madhab. But the majority of Muslim scholars believe that if a woman owns jewelry, she doesn't have to pay zakat on her jewelry. Now, let's say, sister here, I want you to pay attention. You ask a question about 18 karat. Let's say you have some jewelry and you want to calculate the zakat of your gold. Let's say you follow the Hanafi madhab. If you want to pay zakat on your gold, right? And the price in the international markets on the internet, $80. But the depreciated, what is the depreciated price? You go to the jewelry store, they will not give you 80. They will give you $70, $60 for each gram, right? They will never give you the market price on the internet that you find in the internet. This is how they sell, the price they sell with it. But they will buy it with you with a depreciated price. So let's say your name is Fatima, and you own 1,000 grams of 18. We got a question from sister here, 18 karat gold jewelry. So you multiply 1,000 by 18. You divide by 24, you get 750 grams of pure gold. So you don't pay zakat on 1,000. Because your 1,000 is not 24, it's 18. And we are supposed to pay zakat on 24 karat, pure gold, right? But you have 18 karat, it's not pure. So the total value of your gold is only 750, right? Now you use the depreciated price, which is 70. The total amount of your the total amount of the money that you that is subject to zakat is 52,500 dollars, because you multiply 750 by 70, you get a total of 50,000 instead of 70,000. If she calculate, you know, she pays on 1,000 grams, she will end up paying zakat on 70,000. That's a big difference. And there is one thing beautiful. It will make it easy on you, sisters. You don't have to pay zakat on diamonds and gemstones. You don't have to pay zakat on other precious metals other than gold and silver. Right? There is no zakat on these things. And you are allowed to estimate the weight of the stones and don't pay zakat on them. You just pay zakat on gold and silver. Don't pay zakat on... So if you have 750 grams of pure gold, if you exclude the weight of stones, you will end up maybe having 650 grams, right? And you pay zakat only on 650 grams of pure gold. Is that clear, Yaquan? I think we should stop here. We have lands and properties. We have who receives the zakat, and that's it. Two slides. And then we take your questions, inshallah. I think we do Q&A for maybe 20 minutes after the salah, right? Are you okay with that? 20 minutes after the salah, inshallah? Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu fiqh.